The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Friesian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leadershield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
This time I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm gonna need to parachute when I get through walking these blues. When I get back to New Orleans, I've got my suitcase in my hand. Yes, I'm going back home to stay. Yes, I'm walking to New Orleans. You used to be my honey. You spent all my money.
There it is. Walking to New Orleans.
No use for you to cry. I see you by and by. Well, I'm walking to New Orleans.
Little fats on this Mardi Gras day. Happy Mardi Gras. Alan Foreman.
Good morning.
Good morning. Alan, a couple of things that prompted the call and the horsemen in Maryland today, a Zoom conference Q&A with Mary Scalay, and you're sort of hosting and emceeing or fielding the questions?
No. The MTHA is going to host it. I'll be one. But it's another opportunity. And Mary's been doing these throughout the country. She did a very good one in New York not too long ago. But it's an opportunity for the Maryland horsemen and anyone else who joins on the Zoom call to get informed about the new anti-doping program that's anticipated to go into effect unless a court stops it. how to comply with the new rules and what horsemen should know. So we're going to try to make it as informative. It's a Q&A. It's an opportunity for horsemen to ask questions. And, you know, we have a responsibility to educate the horsemen and get them ready and to try to minimize any disruption, any problems. And we're fulfilling that responsibility under the anticipation that the rules are going to go into effect.
Can anyone tune in and watch?
Yes.
They can.
Yes. If they go to MD Horseman, HORSEMEN.com, they should find the link to the to the Zoom at 11 o'clock today. And I think it's been published in Great Pollock's, it's in Blood Horse. So it's readily available. And you have to register, but there's no reason that you can't register. So register, they'll allow you into the call. It allows us to know who's on the call and how many people are on the call. They're well over, I think, several hundred have already registered. So this is the kind of educational responsibility that we've said that we think we have. To get the horsemen ready, and we're going to keep doing it, anticipating again is that the rules are going to go into effect.
Excellent. All right. We'll send the link out too, but give everybody the address again.
Oh, I'll have to pull it up, Steve. I'll pull it up during the course of our call.
All right,
and we'll have it for you by the end of the interview.
Very good. All right, because I want I'm sure there's people that are immediately interested. It's going to start at 11 o'clock, and if you want to miss the third hour of our show, you can always listen later on the podcast and on the archive, etc. Alan, I have one other aspect of. My interest in having you visit. I talked about Greg Means myself when word came of the unbelievable sudden heart attack, essentially, and takes him at 62. And you didn't. I talked to you off the air. You didn't know that I had known Greg since the mid 80s, and when I started to get heavily involved in the game. Doing this show, I got quite a kick out of the fact that Alpine Group, his lobbying consultancy, was NTRA's arm in D.C. And he was smart, he was funny, he was effective, and you wrote really an appropriate and very nice homage in TDN today.
Thank you. I appreciate. I've gotten a lot of really nice notes from people. It bothered me that none of the industry trade publications had said anything about Greg's passing. And, maybe I'll attribute it to they didn't know, but word certainly has been circulating. But as I said in my piece, and I believe very strongly, there are people in this business who don't get the recognition. Who are such important players in the health and welfare of our business, even putting aside the health, safety, and welfare of our participants, but the economic health of our business, who are so vital and have played such an important part. And Greg Means was one of those. And notwithstanding that he was really quite a character, he was very low-key and very much in the background, but his work on our behalf was really quite incredible, and it's quite a body of effective work. And his passing just simply cannot go unnoticed. It's a loss for all of us.
The thing that it was most glaring, and certainly anybody that's listened to the show, going back to the visits with Peggy Hendershot, when Peggy was trying to work the halls of Congress and get the change in the withholding rules, the 300-to-1, the $600 threshold that would trigger IRS signers, and the reimagining of an initiative to get that effort to succeed was really brilliant, and it worked. It worked very quickly. The idea of going to Treasury and rewriting the rules, that's the, you know, that benefit and the impact is the thing that, you know, for horse players listening, they need to know that, you know, that Greg was and partners were responsible for that, you know, reorientation of the effort, and that's the one that has the most obvious impact. But there were a lot of other very nuanced things that, you know, that I use the term from Procter & Gamble, push the peanut. There were little things that just go unnoticed and are kind of inside baseball, but benefit, as you say, benefit the industry immeasurably that no one knows about.
Well, they benefited every aspect of the industry. You know, the NTRA was created in the late 90s. Everybody thought, well, it was going to be a league office. It was going to market and promote the industry. And that was a difficult task when you have so many different stakeholders and so many different interests. And you have a state, you know, state sanctioned, state regulated business and individual private operators. It was very difficult to try to put that together. But its other principal goal was to improve the economic conditions of horse racing nationally. I mean, we have many horsemen's organizations, other stakeholder organizations that work on a state level to maintain and improve economic conditions in our states. But from a national standpoint, and it was becoming more and more national, the industry did not have a presence. Its best was the American Horse Council, Jay Hickey, who did a terrific job. But Jay had responsibility for many other breeds. And many other organizations in racing, the focus was not just thoroughbred racing. And so when Greg started working with the NTRA, and the principal achievements were occurring when Alex Waldrop and Keith Chamblin became part of that team. That was your team there. And I used to bristle at the criticism of NTRA, Alex or Keith over the years, but their work in Washington was brilliant. And it was very difficult for a small group like that to accomplish so much with what they did. And it was very targeted. It was targeted for breeders. It was targeted for owners. It was targeted for the racetracks. And it was targeted for the overall health of the business. When the NTRA started, we didn't have a political action committee. So the best way to influence, whether it's at a state level or a federal level, legislators who will take interest and support what you're trying to do is through campaign contributions, political contributions. And Greg helped, and it was, you know, his work with Peggy and others to form Horsepack. And we've become the largest political action committee of any gaming-related entity in Washington. Extraordinarily successful. And I give a lot of credit to Bill Farish for doing that. And that really set in motion our ability to accomplish a lot of things, because Greg could then not only target campaigns at the state level for those running for Congress, but he could also work with them and target those legislators that we needed to support our industry while they were in Congress. So that was just a critical foundation for what was then targeted efforts, whether it was eliminating the withholding tax for winnings by foreign nationals, which is something the Breeders' Cup coveted, to the one that I think was just absolutely the most critical, and that was allowing advanced deposit wagering between states where such wagering was legal, because there was a feeling among some in the Justice Department that ADW activity was criminal, a violation of national gambling laws. And it was Greg's efforts behind the scene and working with the Department of Justice and working through Congress to ensure that we were carved out. And we said many times, racing was the only sport in the country where you could legally wager on the internet before sports betting. And it was something that was just really unique to us. And we can thank Greg Means for preserving our ability to have advanced deposit wagering. So you can go down the list. There's just so many things that he did year by year as Congress would whether it was tax code protections or withholding protections or depreciation, you name it, his fingerprints are all over it.
Well, and you mentioned two things that beyond the signer topic that is most probably freshest in people's minds, you know, 5-6 years now that it's been in place. But you mentioned the ADW. That was a scary proposition, and that goes back probably 15 years. The depreciation, the tax rules that we talk about with Len Green, the change of a seven year schedule to a 3 year schedule.
To 3 year schedule, correct. And have maintained it. It wasn't just a 1 year carve out. I mean, they maintained this long term protection. I mean, look, we need every advantage we can get in Annapolis. In Maryland. We need every break we can in Washington. And it's a tough environment. Particularly when, you know, we were always targeted as a bunch of rich horse owners, and why are they getting tax breaks without them understanding the depth of this industry in every state, in every community, from an agricultural standpoint, from a labor standpoint, from a tax standpoint, the importance of the industry and its contribution to the economy. And that was Greg's job, to identify those legislators who could understand and who would advocate for us, and put the coalition together, working with Keith and Alex to, and it was tough stuff. You know, it's not sexy. It's not the kind of thing you read every day. It's not the best 2 minutes in racing. This is behind the scenes grunt work, and it's tough stuff, but it's so immeasurably improved the economic conditions of our business. And that work still goes on because we're severely challenged by competition from other forms of gaming. It's gotten much tougher.
Most recently, you know, and I have these updates, you know, we've had them forever with Alex Waldrop, now with Tom Rooney and or Keith Shamblin. But we've talked about the opportunity to get other credit card companies to be able to, you know, gain the authorization to use your credit card to fund your ADW account. That work has been invaluable, and the ability to potentially have racing. I talk about this in New York, where legislators are trying to get the shared wallet concept. That was something that Greg has worked on. You know, the question as we go through this laundry list over close to two decades, Alan, is there an adequate replacement? Is there somebody that is going to, you know, have the knowledge and the experience to offset the loss here of Greg?
Well, I think the answer is yes. And I think that the hiring of Tom Rooney by the NTRA was a brilliant hire. And I think that Greg's work set the stage for the hiring of Tom Rooney, because it demonstrated that the NTRA's strength for the industry is the work that it does in Washington. You know, we're going to be under attack and have been under attack as long as we're conducting business, not only from the standpoint of the health, safety, and welfare of the horse, but being able to communicate to legislators the importance of the industry to the economy, especially when you are dealing with new legislators and more, in some respects, more progressive on the one hand, more conservative on the other, who are looking at issues that aren't necessarily, where racing isn't necessarily as important. And you need someone who understands the business intimately, who understands breeding, who understands racing, who understands the economics. And there, Tom Rooney is that rare individual, and he was an exquisite choice. Greg Means loved the business, you know. He loved it from childhood. He knew every aspect of the business. He understood every aspect of the business, and he was able to communicate that. When you have that kind of passion, it makes for very effective work. Tom I see Tom in the same vein. I mean, his background in racing is incredible, and Tom is able to articulate the industry as well as anybody I've ever known. And Tom comes at it also from the standpoint that he served as a congressman, and he was a respected congressman. He wasn't on any extreme. He was in the middle, and he was respected on both sides of the aisle, and he's able to now translate that into the work that he is doing. Greg actually was a, when Tom came in, was just a tremendous resource for Tom, and you know, collectively they worked on the shared wallet concept. And so I think we all recognize that not having Greg as a resource at this point is a setback, but I'm very comfortable. I think the NTRA was strengthened when it hired Tom. I've been impressed as heck with him since he took over. And so, you know, the next decade we'll look back and we'll see the successes that Tom was able to achieve for us.
Well, nicely framed, and for those, I'll put the link up to Alan's piece, and you can read for yourself everything that Greg achieved for us as an industry. He frustratingly was never able to win a Mid-Atlantic Rotisserie League title before he turned his team over to a friend in our league, but we were all of us, all the times we'd come down to D.C. and, you know, and have, you know, we had banquets and we'd have our draft, and I was just stunned by this and really saddened. So I wanted to let you come on and appreciate what Greg had done and help people understand, you know, the work that goes on behind the scenes. You know, people don't seem to identify or acknowledge the intangible successes that NTRA has authored. It's obviously thankless to the extent that so few people even knew that Greg existed.
Yeah, and it is thankless. I mean, I'm always saddened, and this is a perfect example of someone who's done so much for the industry and never really got the credit that he deserved and the kudos and the thank yous. But that's the nature of things. And, you know, all you can do is just remind people that there are individuals in this business who are working every day for the betterment of our industry. And, you know, the best interest of breeders, owners, trainers, jockeys, we continue to do that work. And you just can't let the moment go without recognizing somebody who's so darn important.
Well, Alan, I appreciate it, and it's timely as well because I'm just putting up the link to the registration for anybody that
Great.
Wants to participate in the Q&A that's coming up with Dr. Scalay, and there it goes right now. Everybody's welcome. It's being sponsored by the Maryland Horsemen, but you can sit in and listen and learn. We had the meeting on Thursday last week with Lisa Lazarus and Ron Moquette, and we're going to continue to do more of those. Alan, as always, appreciate it. And we'll see you. When am I going to see you?
That's probably Preakness.
No,
I don't think there's anything before Preakness.
No, but, all right.
I'm always available to you. You
yeah,
know that,
I
really appreciate your taking the time to honor Greg. I really am.
Not at all, Alan Foreman, everybody, and upcoming 11 o'clock, Alan and the Maryland Horsemen that are providing a service for everybody to talk about implementation, particularly of the. You know, the high woo, the welfare and integrity and welfare side of the HISA administration. All right. Kenny McPeak is going to join us right now, actually, and we'll get Kenny in here. Plenty to talk about. I made that funny. I thought it was funny, and I think I got a smile out of Kenny when I said it was time on Friday. I said it was time for Kenny McPeak to do Kenny McPeak things.
Okay. Whatever that might be.
Well, nobody was excited about Dennington in that high-level allowance. Nobody was saying, here's a breakthrough candidate, and they were saying it afterward. Well done.
Yeah, he's always been a nice horse. He just seems to be a horse that's taking a little bit of time to come around, and he's still learning how to run. But I was thrilled with that race the other day. That was fantastic. I mean, he's finally putting it together. He's going to have to put. He needs to string several races like that together. But he's coming. He's getting there.
Well, and you've got you got some other candidates, and in fact, you'll be attacking at Oaklawn. We'll talk about that, but let's do some more recapping, because of course you also ran second with Sun Thunder. That was more McPeakism. But before we get to that, let's dive into Dennington and tell us a little bit more, because Kenny, how many of these are out there? How many broodmares for the Magdalena and Fern Circle partners that we talk so frequently about? This is really kind of caught my eye, and I said that yesterday.
Well, Paul Fireman gets credit there. I have been buying for Paul and Fern Circle Stable, his family, 5, 6, 7 years now, and we tend to, he equities me in instead of a commission on the, and a lot of my clients do that, by the way. They equity me in as 10% owner instead of commission. And I like that. But, I bought that colt's mother at auction as a yearling, and she was a Silver Bullet Day winner. She was on the fringes of the Kentucky Oaks, but wasn't quite fast enough. And we didn't run her in the Kentucky Oaks because I didn't think it was a race of her, her level. But she was a stakes winner and a good, solid filly. And so we kept her as a broodmare. And I did the mating with Gunrunner for Paul. And he likes breeding to Gunrunner. Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
And we got in early on the curve for him and actually for Paul and Scott Leeds. Scott Leeds has got a bunch of really good mares that have been bred to Gunrunner. And we, I think we beat the market to the punch today. You can't afford him, but we got in when he was reasonable. And this is a colt that's a foal out of that process, and he was foaled at Magdalena, raised at Magdalena, and real proud of him. He's a good solid bone colt and obviously talented, so fingers crossed he can go to the next level.
Well, and he, one thing about this is that, he's being trotted out on a, on a regular basis. He was the most experienced coming in, made his eighth start. You also tinkered a little bit. You put blinkers on in the LeCompte, and he sort of, it felt like maybe it did it confuse him or throw him off a little bit, because he didn't really close the way, he had seen, leading up to that race.
We were trying to get him to show a little more speed. His mother was a deep closer. I mean, she grounded out. I tend to buy horses that way, but she grounded out, and she came from way back to win the Silver Bullet Day. And we wanted to see if he would, show a little more lick early and put himself in a little better position. But the truth is that you're trying to force a horse's running style a little bit. And when you do that, it can backfire. And I think it backfired a little bit. But he really just wants to settle, wait, and then make a run. I do think the pace of that race the other day set up well for him. And he is going to be a colt that kind of needs that. But he lays closer than his mother did, but not as close as Gunrunner did.
Well, you mentioned the Silver Bullet Day win. And in addition, that mare, her dam, Stronger Than Ever's dam, Broken Silence, she continues to produce, and there happens to be a full sibling. There's a full brother. Elko County is the name to Dennington's full brother, and that one, I suppose, is getting ready for the 2-year-old season.
I've got him at my farm in Florida,
our
training center in Florida, Silverleaf, and he's that colt was appraised at probably $750,000 to $1 million if we ran him through the Saratoga yearling sale.
Wow!
And Paul just said keep him, and he is a gorgeous colt.
a little bit more leg than Dennington, but big chestnut colt, which is stamped gun runner. And then the mare is got a candy ride on the ground, and she's back in foal, or she's going to be bred back to gun runner this spring. So we're excited about that. We're going to work with Gonzalo Torrealba at Three Chimneys and foal share to the mare on a gun runner. So she's got a, you know, long produce record kind of in front of her, and she throws a beautiful foal.
She's not dropping anything this year? She's barren this year?
She's in foal to Candy Rod.
Oh, well, she had, okay, so, oh, I see. So I see what you did. They, two gun runners, two candy rides, and now back to gun runner.
Exactly.
Interesting. All right, so there'll be a full sibling, two pairs of full siblings. I'll talk to, mm-hmm. I'll let Sid riff on this tomorrow. That's an interesting, whose philosophy is that, Kenny?
Well, that's mine. You know, I think that, you know, I do a lot of the matings for, or some matings for some clients, and I think Candy Ride is a significant stallion line. I mean, you've got Twirling Candy out there, and he throws, you know, speed, and Gun Runner's obviously going straight to the top. And I think sire lines, you know, they trend, and, you know, like the last decade's probably been Tappet. And then there's so many Tappets out there, but what's the next line? And I just think that Gun Runner Candy Ride's the next line. I mean, Dennington, if he can knock out a couple of graded stakes wins, he's probably a stallion prospect. And there's several others out there. I'm sure I've missed some Candy Ride stallions, of Vacoma, and Vacoma's Candy Ride also. Hmm. So yeah, there's the speed factor. And like I said, I think that's the next sire line. So, I tended to make those decisions, and Paul gives me the freedom to do all that. We're down here in New Orleans right now in the middle of it's Fat Tuesday.
Well, I'm at the fairgrounds. I'm sitting upstairs.
Yeah. No, so it's pretty fun down here right now. When I get off your call, I've got another one, and then we're going to go to one of the parades, turns a corner about, maybe quarter of a mile from where we're staying in the French Quarter. It's been a unique winter for me because I'm historically been at Gulfstream for decades.
Right.
Unfortunately, they couldn't accommodate me this year. And I think I'll probably, I mean, really logistically, the fairgrounds to Oaklawn and back and forth really works really well for us. So we've had a marvelous time down here. My wife Sherry and I are here, and my mother-in-law's with us. And it's been a fun winter.
Speaking of Sherry, where's Baby Baby?
My Baby Baby?
Yeah.
With the mare?
Well, both.
my older daughter is the one that one was named after. She is at Otterbein College or University in her last semester in college.
Wow.
And my younger daughter's seven. She's at home in Louisville. She's stayed home for school. We actually wanted to bring her down, and she didn't want to come. So, you know, anyway, Butterbean is the one my younger daughter named. And Butterbean's getting ready to make her start soon, too.
Oh, excellent. All right. Let's talk about Dennington quickly about what do you do? I mean, you Louisiana Derby?
Derby. Yeah. No-brainer. Yeah. Louisiana Derby's got to run over the track. He's went over the track. It makes sense. Likely him and Sun Thunder are going to hook horns in that, and we'll probably make them workmates going into it and keep it simple. But both of them are fit and ready for that.
Well, talk about Sun Thunder's race, and you know, yesterday as part of the analysis, it did seem like it helped to come from off the pace in here. It wasn't a total collapse, but you know, it certainly lent itself to those that were running late.
He's a big, powerful horse. He grinds it out too. I don't think distance is a problem. I thought Brian did a good job sitting on him and getting him in rhythm. Brian does a good job doing that. So like I said, that race coming back is obvious too for him, and I'm not gonna you know, go different directions with either one of those. I think I've got horses that are eligible to run in the Arkansas Derby and possibly the Bluegrass, and just keep those two here at home base and let them do their thing.
This is an Into Mischief, $400,000 at Phasic Tipton, November in 2020.
And I did not buy him, so no credit there.
All right, how did he come to you? RT Racing.
You know, Mike Marino bred him,
right.
And Dr. Talaj is the other partner. Gentleman from Dominican is a doctor in New York, and they actually got a call from Ryder Finney, and he said, "Can you take this into Mischief colt?" And he came to us at Saratoga. Admittedly, the colt really struggled at Saratoga. We had him on the Oklahoma training track for the summer, and he really struggled up there. It was kind of scratching my head whether we'd even make it to the races. But then by fall, I had him at Keeneland, and he started to wake up, and he started to show some real zip in his workouts. And he's still a big horse that you weren't going to force him to go early so much as just had to teach him to run late. And we focused in on teaching him to run late, and he's just jumped through every hoop since. And I do think the race at Oakland, two back, I think we chased a little bit in that race, trying to chase the speed, and I think it backfired and he hung. But this race, I think Brian suits him a little bit better, and he relaxes the horse well, and he finished up better for him.
I mean, looking at the pedigree and that dam, Greenfield Doro, Medaglia Doro mare, wasn't much herself, but she's out of Merrifield, who we always loved, Doug O'Neill's filly and mare sprint winner. So sort of that, maybe some of that closing kick contributing there. And you know, the other part about this race that is notable at this time of year, Kenny, and I think we've talked about it. In fact, it came up yesterday about last year, finishing second as well, right, in this race with with which one of the three?
I'm gonna Smile Happy.
Smile Happy. the mile in the eighth, and then the mile in 3/16. And you know, the benefit of the rethinking of this sequence with some longer races on an earlier schedule, and it seems to be, you know, I mean, Epicenter obviously the most recent example, but it feels like there's a benefit to this.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I think the surface here at the fairgrounds is similar to the surface at Churchill. And I think it gives you a good baseline of whether your horse can compete in these types of races at that distance. So, yeah, no, I think it's ideal. I think they've made some wise moves as far as that. Kind of differentiates it from some of the other preps. So, yeah, I think it's a good thing.
Quick thoughts, Kenny, the Mineshaft and Fairground runners, King Fury and Tis the Bomb. It feels like you're still kind of figuring out what Tis the Bomb's future is going to hold.
Horse trained so good into that race.
Yep.
And we were really disappointed in his run. I think he got caught down on the inside, and I think it was kind of really soft and cut up down there. And that race played more like a mile and 3/16 than a mile and an eighth. And certainly with the surface like that, I just think I ran a short horse, and he struggled the last 3/16, but he's much better than that. And I think if he gets a little firmer ground, and we've got a race under his belt now, you'll see a lot better version of Tis the Bomb. And then King Fury's a bit of a head scratcher. I've actually got a call here about 5 minutes with Gonzalo Torrealba to talk about his future. Probably, I mean, that colt, we can't seem to get him back in gear. We've been trying to spot him. He's out of conditions. And so you have to go to these graded stakes or stakes. And you're probably going to go to the mile and a half, the race at Oakland on April 2nd. I'm going to run him a little further, and we're going to tinker a little bit with his training schedule and see if we can wake him up, because he's much better than he's been running, but he's been a little bit frustrating for us lately.
Well, it's just nice to get these, you know, all these four-year-olds coming back, and also, you know, we saw that. In fact, the whole race was important when it comes to.
You're missing a long list of them, though, Steve.
Yeah, that's true.
Classic Causeway's on the comeback. He's been working regularly with Smile Happy. Creative Minister, who was third in the Preakness, has been working in company with Rattle and Roll. You know, both of them high level talented colts that are getting ready. I rested a lot of them in the spring, and then I'm going to take a colt up to the Battaglia named Mendelssohn's March that I think can, with a good run in his next one, can win the Jeff Ruby. And then I've got some steam running at the Oakland Saturday.
We'll get to that.
Frosted Departure, who's a bit of an overachiever, and he's been running well. And Defining Purpose is going in the Honeybee. And I've got a maiden named Seeking Unity that we're as high on as any three-year-old we've got. So, you know, they're high-level first-world problems. So,
well, the Seeking Unity is a unified and making a third career start.
Yeah.
You've got actually quite a few maidens I wanted you to touch on. But, you know, you mentioned the Battaglia next week. The Dust Commander on Saturday night, you brought back Camp Hope, who ran very well. I mean, was second off a long layoff.
He ran super. He'd been breezing with Tiz the Bomb, and Tiz the Bomb, pretty much a handful for him to get to, but he ran super in that spot. I'll probably come back in the Kentucky Classic up there. He's another horse that we could have a really good spring with. Yeah. Fun and Feisty, Pocahontas winner. She's going to go to the Cincinnati Trophy, and I got a filly named Dear Lady that I'd like to think I could get to the Ashland. And we've got good depth. Hey, Steve, I hate to cut you off, but I got Gonzalo Torrealba calling me from Dubai.
All right, you
and
should
I
talk
need to
him.
Take his call.
Talk to
yes.
him. You got it.
All right,
Kenny.
All
happy
right.
Mardi Gras. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Kenny McPeak, there you go. And there's actually quite a few more that we could have dug in. He's got coming up early this week. There's a maiden, Rolla Bolo. Alex Achard is going to ride at Turfway. That's on Thursday. This is a Spitestown making a third start out of an Uruguayan mare. Brownwood Farm, a homebred, Rolla Bolo. He's got three more maidens here at Fairgrounds. Odds on Tony Sir, and he's got Swagger. The first two were, these are all turf, assume, and weather I think looks good this week. And he, right down that maiden from Saturday, in fact, I've got it right here. Let's take a look and see what, we got about 10 minutes to Andy joining us. This maiden in the fourth, there it is. Interesting. Seeking Unity. Second start and comes out of that maiden race here at Fairgrounds, the mile and 70. Got an 84 buyer, actually. Got nailed late by Jeeper. And this is a unified out of a Seeking the Gold Mare, a Hertrick Fielding product, $280,000 Saratoga yearling, Walking Elf Thoroughbreds, and the luckiest man in racing, Harold Lerner. this looks like there's a mile and a 16th, the fourth race on Saturday. The very good card. It's actually a horse that Moquette, who I'm sure will sit down with us, that King Russell comes back in this spot. The Airdrie, the Brary Jones homebred out of Believe You Will, that has been knocking on the door. Two seconds so far. Was second to Sun Thunder, in fact. How about that? Talk about a commonality. Interesting. Yeah, the card is very good. I printed out races 3 through 12. Riley Mott, whose horses have been running well, has got a horse that was sent to him by Jane Lyon, homebred, Quality Road, a horse that was gelded, actually, last week. Or in recent weeks, was reported on February 20th. But this is a horse that Brad Cox had originally, qualified. Looking forward to seeing Riley, actually. Asmussen has got a Mike Rutherford homebred. This is a good race, the fourth. Yeah, the rest of that, this card, from there, there's a first-level allowance sprint with a big field. Then the maiden fillies going short. That looks to have quality about it. Boldoro from Chris Hartman. Norm Cassie sends out Bat Masterson's Grove. A Munnings Philly. Larry Jones, a second-timer. Donnie, that he and Cindy own. Did they breed that? No, bred by Vinny Viola. $105,000 purchase. Nope, I take that back. Modest purchase. A West Coast out of Monique's Candy. Rudy Brissett with a Windstar homebred by Spitestown. Afternoon Tea. Yeah, it's then the Carousel that obviously came up with... with that was funny with Al. Al was being very polite about about his filly that got Portilla. Yeah, she was kind of expelled from fairgrounds. you know, the racing department. The racing departments are tough. They yeah, they've been known. They've been known to get tough with you here and there. There's also a second level allowance. A lot of sprinting going on Saturday. Here's a big bulky group, the eighth, including our old friend Flapjack. How about that? Then another second level allowance sprint as the ninth. And then come the two stakes, the 10th and the 11th, the Honey Bee and the Rebel. So I'm glad we got that in with McPeak because I wanted to get caught up on everything he's got going on. We also got to get, you know what, let me see if I can't, we got about 10 minutes, a little less. Yeah, we got 10 minutes. Hold on. Let me see if I can't. Let's see if we can't get... Joe Christofek in for a quick opinion because we're going to get tight later on, and maybe when Popo joins us in hour three, he'll pull up the form to win on the Mardi Gras. In fact, here, let's do this right now. We'll see if I can't. What is he doing? I just called for Frank to come out. Hold on, let me see if here we go. Let's see if we can't get there we go. Look at the Mardi Gras, and here it is. Very good. The field of eight, and we should actually probably check and see if there's any. Let's see if there's any changes while we're doing this. Entries, boom. Assuming the changes are up. And they are. They came up in the last half hour, actually. And are we free and clear? You can scratch the AEs. Yep. Everybody, the race is going to go as drawn in terms of the field of eight. So we can pull out the nine through and the MTOs and everything else. The weather's been too perfect. And in fact, you know, I'll tell you how nice it is. When I came in this morning and the horses were galloping, you could hear that the main track is now absolutely perfect. You know, there had been enough moisture where you could sort of hear the hooves. Horses were going by, and you could barely hear. You hear that nice fluff, that fluff, you know, kind of a nice sound as they gallop by, as opposed to when the base is still got moisture and they hit a little hard. Yeah, come here, hit my man. Got Joe Christofek coming out, and we'll spend just 5 minutes. Want to get an opinion? And the card is fine, actually. There's nice size fields: 8x9x6x8x7x8x7x8 by 11. So nothing wrong with the field size. I got them. They're very modest. There's like one horse, Argy Bargy Buck. That's funny. Oh, that's just an ownership change. One, two, only three healthy scratches.
Yeah,
very good. Joe, first of all, thanks for everything to you and Kevin and Jason Belay and the whole team. This has been a really fun week.
It's been a great week. Mother Nature obviously cooperated. The races on Saturday were fantastic. I was driving here from the Marigny, and people are already out in their costumes walking the streets with open beer cans, and it's already getting crazy around here. And Fairgrounds has a lot of fun on Mardi Gras, so looking forward to it, yeah.
Well, we just talked to Kenny McPeak. We talked about Dennington, and we talked about Sutton Thunder, and you know, his 3-year-old boys kind of bubbling to the surface on good timing. He's got Frosted Departure and the Rebel, and we got a lot. He's got a bunch of maidens coming up this week here as well, and talked to Al Stahl about Evan Singh's performance and some runners that he's got both here and at Oaklawn. So, you know, you guys are winding down, really. I mean, once you hit Risen Star, now it's really the end run to Derby Day.
Yeah, Louisiana Derby is the Saturday before closing day Sunday. And, yeah, then slowly but surely pack myself up, head back to Louisville, gear up for Kentucky Derby 149. It's an exciting time of year. You know, the three-year-olds, the Colts and the Phillies, are both still trying to sort themselves out. So there's a lot that's going to happen, you know, in the next 6 weeks or so, even, you know, 8 weeks or so. So exciting. This is what it's all about, as far as trying to figure out who you think's going to move forward and looking for value in some of these races like we did on Saturday with Angel of Empire, and just hope to keep it going.
Now, and a great job. In fact, the exacta, right? You banked
pretty
out,
close, you yeah. I like both of them, but I had Angel of Empire on top. Yeah,
very much.
Publicly, so that was a good one. We needed that.
Big time. Let's take a quick glance at today's feature, because the principles are pretty well matched in here. I know Uvra, Chris Block is certainly, you know, the one to beat, but Astute from Brad Cox, Going Good also from Cox. They both end up running, and feels like the top three. What did you do in here?
Well, Uvra is an Illinois bred just like me, so I always have to root for her, and she's been great. And seemingly coming out of the Menard on the turf, she's trained fantastic. She's got three great works in between starts. She's got positional speed, puts her in the right spot on the turn for home. She knows how to seal the deal. I think she's going to be tough. You know, you mentioned some of the other ones. I think Going Good, maybe that form darkened a little bit by that disappointing race at Turfway's, got a cozy outside draw and some tactical speed. Astute had a little bit of trouble out of the gate in her first race since May of 2021. And then Price Shot of Bukir Bay for Jason Barkley. If the horse gets a fast pace, you know, we've seen horses close on that outside fence here at Churchill on the turf many times over the last few weeks. And this horse ran deceivingly well last out. I know he ran fourth, but it was a belated rally. And again, with the right trip, that horse could potentially upset 8-1 in the morning line.
Nice. So there's good. There's a price option in this group. And any other interesting plays today?
Yeah, I'm still kind of in the process of finalizing everything. So yeah, I'll have to go back through. There's a lot. I mean, Flint Ridge looks for three wins in a row. That horse is going to be a short price.
What race is that?
That is race number 7. Morning Cup, I think, stretching out for Al. I don't know if you talked to him.
Yeah, we touched.
Yeah, I think that horse will appreciate the added distance, and that race looks winnable for Morning Cup. Those are two that I would probably lean on today in some of those late wagers.
There you go. So if you're looking for start the late pick four off, Morning Cup, the 3 and the 6th, Flint Ridge, 2-1, the 6 and the 7th, and then Uvra, the 4 and the 8th. Joe Kristofek, thank you so much. Well done Saturday, and this has been a really fun week. Last year we were kind of hung up while we were here for several days when Kay was knocked out. So really made up for it more. So thanks for everything.
No doubt about it. It makes you appreciate when things don't go right, appreciate when things do go right and things fall into place. And it's been great having you here. We look forward to this time of year for a lot of different reasons, but love having you here. Love showing as much hospitality as we can so the people of New Orleans do.
Well, that is nicely put. Thank you. And I will mention that the friendliness, and it's more than just, you know, it's more than just Mardi Gras time. I mean, the people are unbelievably friendly here. It's wherever you go. There's just, and particularly in the bit, when you come here to the track, the people are unbelievably nice.
Yeah, I mean, people of New Orleans are resilient, and speaking about learning how to appreciate, you know, the simple things in life, I think that's kind of the moral of the story around here. And I've been here now for six seasons.
Wow.
I feel like this is my second, third home. Feel very comfortable here. Love being here during the winter time, and look forward to the fairgrounds meet every season.
Another month plus of fairgrounds action, and we'll check in before Derby.
Stay tuned for my costume.
Watch today. That's right. We're waiting for it also for the Amoses. Thanks, Joe. Joe Christofek, everybody. We'll take the break here, our second of the morning. We'll come back, give you one more taste of Mardi Gras. And Andy Serling joins us from the New York Racing Association. Hour three, our last here this week at Fairgrounds. Stay with us.
It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Friesian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? For the university.